Welcome to Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers here live at Katarina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road in Chicago, as the crowd files in. Of course, we record here every Tuesday night at Katarina's. And tonight's show, this is an exciting show, actually. We have Mark George from the Chicago Music Institute of Chicago. Thank you. I just said that twice, but that's all right. This is a loose show, Mark. You're going to understand that very shortly. And then, of course, we have Chris Madsen coming in, and he performs live. And for everybody listening, recording down here at Katarina's starting at 7 p.m. until 8:15, and then we always have a live after set. So come on down. There's no cover, and we'd like to see you down here for one of the shows in the upcoming weeks. But, Mark, you have a great jazz festival coming up, the Benny Goodman Jazz Fest. I believe that's what it's called, mm-hmm. at the Chicago Music Institute of Chicago. And you are the CEO and president of the Music Institute of Chicago.
That's right.
Why don't we get a little background? Well, first, when is the Jazz Festival, and who's on it? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, it's the Benny Goodman Festival. We're really excited about it. It's November 1st and November 2nd. So just a short time from now, and Friday night is the first night, and we have some amazing players. We're going to try to recreate the great Benny Goodman quartet with the vibraphone, piano, drums, and clarinet, and it's going to be led by Victor Goins, director of jazz studies over at Northwestern, and many other things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next night, Saturday, we're going to change the focus a little bit, and we're going to play some of the music that Goodman commissioned later in his life. A lot of people don't know that with his fame and fortune, he commissioned clarinet concertos and pieces from the likes of Aaron Copland and Paul Hindemith and Morton Gould and Bela Bartok even. So
really?
He's an amazing bridge over lots of different kinds of music.
So he actually commissioned... See, I didn't even know that. So he actually commissioned the pieces and...
That's right. That's right. I mean, he met anybody who was anybody in music pretty much in his lifetime.
Now, why did you decide to go with the Benny Goodman theme?
Well, there's so many reasons. For one, this is the 75th anniversary of his famous Carnegie Hall concert, mm-hmm. and we're going to be doing some of the same repertoire from that. And that was really, it's hard to imagine now with all the stuff that we have at Symphony Center and Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, right. and all that stuff, but that was the first time that jazz made its way into a formal concert hall, 1938.
Really?
And it was, it just paved the way for everything else, and it was this experiment,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of worked.
Kind of worked. I think it absolutely worked,
yeah.
didn't it?
There's an anniversary of that. Plus, Goodman, from Chicago,
right?
Learned how to play the clarinet at Hall House,
right?
And
that's still over at University of UIC, I should say.
Yeah, it's like the Hall House Museum now,
right.
but it's a cool place. And then probably the best reason is the music. I mean, there's just so much that Goodman did. He was, you know, just a consummate professional virtuoso in jazz, played classical, played everything, and we want to celebrate that.
So we've got Friday, November 1st at 7:30 p.m., and then Saturday, November 2nd at 3 p.m., and then at 7:30 p.m., is it another concert?
Well, the two concerts are in the evening.
Okay.
And at 3 p.m. on Saturday, that's a special thing. We're going to have a little panel discussion about Goodman's influence in jazz, in race relations, among the Jewish diaspora,
mm-hmm.
Because he did so many things. And then we're going to screen the 1950s film, The Benny Goodman Story. And, you know, so it's not exactly a biography. It's a little bit loose, but it's a great film. It stars Steve Allen, who
right,
was a great
yeah.
musician in his own right, and Donna Reed. Everybody loves Donna Reed. But the big thing about it is that all the great musicians of the day made cameo appearances and played the score for the music. So, you know, Lionel Hampton, Gene Krupa,
right.
Teddy Wilson, and even going back as far as Kid Ory is in the movie.
Really?
The guy was born in
right.
1886 or something like
yeah.
that. So it's a real historical document.
Now, all of this is at Nichols Concert Hall?
Nichols Concert Hall in downtown Evanston.
1490 Chicago Avenue in Evanston. And For more information, they can call 847-905-1500, extension 108.
Or you can just go to musicinstituteofchicago.org.
That's perfect. And it looks like I'm just looking over all the notes and things. There's a random, not a random, but there's different levels of ticketing and things, so they can just get all the information there.
Buy single tickets. You can buy a package for all three parts of it, and it's an affordable thing and a great venue for jazz. It's mm-hmm. just like, it's kind of like a bigger version of Katarina's.
Right. Nice tie-in.
Yeah.
You can come back on the show. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Music Institute itself. It's over 80 years old, and yeah. I didn't even realize it was over 80 years old. So, yeah. I mean, how did I know you weren't there at the beginning, but,
no.
You know, how did it kind of get started?
Well, it was founded in 1931 in a Winnetka farmhouse. It was a very romantic story, actually. A man and a woman met studying music in Paris in the 1920s, and they fell in love, and they decided they were going to come back and teach music, open a music school, and they did it in Winnetka. So for the 83 years, it's been a kind of a storied history of a community music school, which means that whether you're a beginner or a dabbler, just want to do it for fun, or even a pre-professional, you can walk in, join the community, and make some music. And probably the thing that distinguishes the institution, really for all of its history, is its commitment to great teaching. So. If anybody's going to walk in at any level and you want to teach them and bring them somewhere in music, you have to have great, great, amazing teachers.
Right.
And we've got I'm probably a little biased, but I think probably the best community music school factory and faculty and factory in the United States, and if not the world. I mean, it's really an amazing faculty.
How many students do you have on average?
We have close to 3,000 students.
Wow.
And and we're all over. We're, you know, since 1931, it's expanded a little bit. We're up in Lake Forest, the campus. We
okay.
have a campus in Evanston, and then just this year we started in downtown Chicago on Michigan Avenue, partnership with Fourth Presbyterian Church. So we're doing it all up and down the lakeshore.
So you have music. Courses, instruments, everything of all sorts. From, and I know we were just talking a little
yeah.
bit about the jazz. You have a jazz studies program there that you started within the past 3-4 years.
That's right.
Classical. I would imagine you have beginning programs for mm-hmm. for young kids. And
that's right. I mean, we have probably about 80% of our students are young people, and the earliest literally are just babies in mom's arms who come in together and they sing and they move to music, and then you can start taking an instrument. We have a big Suzuki education program, but we also have about 350 adult students, and,
okay.
and many of whom in the jazz program that they haven't played maybe for many years, and they have a little bit of time now, and they pick up their instruments and come down and have a ball.
Now, are you on quarters, on semesters? I'm interested in all
yeah,
of this
yeah.
because I think that a lot of our listeners might be sitting at home and might be somebody that dabbled in piano back, you know, 15 years ago, and they like to go out to clubs and stuff. But, I mean, to be able to have a chance to actually be in an organized situation where you can learn how to play and maybe play in an ensemble,
absolutely.
I mean, that's rare.
Well, it is a great opportunity, and with most of our programs, it's a rolling admission kind of thing.
Okay.
So, you know, you decide right now you can come, but if you decide in November or January, that's okay too. And there are always jazz combos, bands, orchestras, chamber music forming, and then great private teaching too.
So when you get in there, is it different levels? When you come in, is there an audition process?
No auditions at Music Institute of Chicago. It's just it's your interest. That's all
mm-hmm.
we want, and we'll meet you right where you are. And, you know, have a really good conversation with you so that we get you the right teacher for your goals and what you want to do in music, and then we kind of let it happen from there.
Do you find, and I know because I, you know, for the listeners that are listening that haven't heard the show all the time, I'm a drummer myself,
mm-hmm.
and I perform around Chicago. And when I used to teach, I used to have two different students, the ones that were gung-ho, totally into it, and the ones that their parents made them come to the lessons because it was just the right thing to do. I would imagine, though, the people that come in no matter what age, probably the younger kids are a little bit more, need to be a little bit more motivated. But when you get into the, you know, the more mature people coming into the school, I would imagine that they're gung-ho and probably so enthusiastic, and this is just a release for them.
Well, I mean, we have all kinds of students, and it's true. Some of them are just so self-motivated. It really doesn't matter with age. There's some very young students who just seem to go nuts and love the music. And then there are others, you're right, their parents know that this is important,
right,
for brain development, for their just general education. And they usually end up getting excited after they, because you're in a community with lots of other kids and adults who are doing the same thing, have the same interest. So it's different from the public school setting where,
right,
you know, you might be one of a handful of people who are making music, but when you come to the Music Institute of Chicago, you have about 2,000 or 3,000 peers.
Now, do you do anything there? And I'm just asking because we had somebody on the show a couple of weeks ago that did music therapy stuff.
Oh yeah.
And do you do things like that there? Is that
Well, yeah, we actually do. We have something called the Institute for Therapy Through the Arts. So we do music therapy, but also visual arts, drama, and movement therapy.
Oh, really?
So it's basically using the arts for clinical goals. You know, so you're not really trying to make art, but you're trying to help a Parkinson's patient function better, or you're trying to help somebody on the autism spectrum express themselves in different ways when they can't do it verbally necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in downtown Evanston, and we do incredible work down at the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago.
Sure.
As well. And it's part of the philosophy of community music schools is you really want to catch everybody. So that means, you know, that the group that I described, you walk in and you're just interested. Then there's that group who really know they want to be professionals, and we
right.
take good care of them. And then people with special needs, you know, they have to have their opportunities as well.
Well, and you can probably talk to this. Just talking to Stephanie Browning was on the show, who's a vocalist in town, and she works at a care home, so she's doing this on her own, sort of volunteer,
sure.
and it kind of turned into a little bit more of a steady thing. But she's astonished at what music can really do for people that are challenged and pull that out of them. So I think this is good for our listeners to know that you actually have that opportunity there at the Music Institute.
Yeah, I mean, same number, same website. You can check it out if. There are all kinds of applications,
sure.
and I've seen some amazing stories, which maybe you've heard as well, just of things like a stroke victim who hasn't communicated in any way in months or years. A musician comes in and plays a song from their youth, and their eyes open up and they smile
yeah.
all of a sudden. It's just pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something that you know, it's always fun when you're teaching somebody and they're getting really good and stuff, but when that happens, it's got to be something really special for the instructors or for anybody
yeah.
that's doing
well,
that.
The whole institution, I think we're proud
yeah.
of that.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the Jazz Studies program mm-hmm. because I think that, you know, to me, if you're in elementary school, in high school, junior high, and you're in a jazz band and you're doing well and you're interested, it can only help if you get outside of the school and also have the ability to do some ensemble playing. And I don't think that there's a lot of opportunities in Chicago, so this is why it's interesting to me because, I mean, just imagine, you know, for the listeners at home, if your child is interested in all of this and they're really jamming in the high school jazz band, but then they can go somewhere and really get some different instructions, some different views, and bring that back into their playing in the jazz band, it just makes them, I think, move forward much faster.
Well, there's no doubt about it. When you get some individual attention from great instructors, you just leap forward. And the jazz program is modeled, I think, after the way you know, jazz musicians developed in the past. It used to be a kind of apprentice system,
right,
where you know, a young kid would just kind of hang out with the professionals
mm-hmm.
and learn little by little. But, you know, that's gone. You can't
yeah.
hardly do that anymore.
Well, the kids can't get into the clubs anymore either.
Well,
so.
That's probably a good thing. But so, you know, we put together this amazing faculty, and I mentioned some of them earlier, Ernie Adams
yep.
On percussion and Victor Garcia on trumpet. Audrey Morrison is the director of the program, trombone, Jeremy Kahn, piano, on and on. You get a chance to come in you know, you might be a middle school sax or trumpet player, but you come in here and you work with the best. They teach you how to be a musician, how to create, and then you go back to your school and you're a leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you make that band sound better too.
Well, and you know, talking about the apprenticeship, like Ernie Adams, if I was able to play and study under Ernie Adams when I was in high school, mm-hmm. and then go back into the high school jazz band program, it would be a totally different concept of what was going on in that program. So I mean, that's something that, you know, if you have a child at home and you're interested in doing something like this, you should give, you know, the Music Institute of Chicago a call, because, I mean, it's amazing how fast the students will progress with their instrument.
It is. And, you know, these musicians are, they're models, you know. I mean, they
sure.
play so well, and
they play all over the world, too.
They play all over the world. We have we engaged an artist in residence last year, and we're doing the same this year, vocalist Tammy McCann.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tammy has come in to do master classes, not only for our vocal students and the jazz students, but to our most advanced classical players, too, because, you know, it's all about communicating
sure.
your music, and Tammy's pretty good at that, and she'll be singing on the Benny Goodman Festival, too.
Okay. Well, so the Benny Goodman Fest is Friday, November 1st, 7:30 p.m., Saturday, November 2nd at 3 p.m., when you have the panel discussion and also the film,
mm-hmm.
The Benny Goodman Story, and then Saturday night, November 2nd, is at 7:30, and that's another concert, and this is the one that it's the music that Benny Goodman
commissioned. Or premiered, and Larry Combs, former clarinetist with the Chicago Symphony, and since then really just a world-renowned player, he does classical and jazz. You know, we try to pick things that are like our institution. I mean, we cross over all
sure.
over the place, and Benny Goodman was certainly like that, and there's no doubt that Larry Combs can come in and play the Aaron Copland Clarinet Concerto. And then he's going to play the Leonard Bernstein Prelude, Fugue, and Riffs, which is a really cool, just rocking piece.
Oh, that's got to be. Well, so they can get more information at the website, which I'll let you say that one.
MusicInstituteOfChicago.org.
Or you can give them a call at 847-905-1500, mm-hmm. extension 108. And, of course, there'll be more information at WDCB.org. And ChicagoJazz.com. Well, thanks for coming in, Mark.
It was a pleasure, and I'm also happy to... My first time at Katarina's, I'm definitely going to be back.
Good, good. We'll look forward to seeing you.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you.
Support for Chicago Jazz Revealed comes from the Elgin Community College Arts Center, presenting singer-songwriters Liz Wright and Raul Madone, who joined forces Saturday, October 26th for a night of jazz, R&B, soul, and gospel. Wright's voice combines Madone's vocals, percussive guitar, and inventive mouth trumpet for a soul-nourishing night of music. More details at elgin.edu/arts. All right, we're back here at Chicago Jazz Reveal, live from Katarina's here, 1920 West Irving Park Road. And, the crowd is packing in. We've got a line out front right now. But if you're listening to this and you're out front, don't worry. We'll get to the front door soon, and we'll get you in. I'm happy to have, by the way, this is Mike Jeffers, and we are on WDCB. I got all sidetracked because I'm looking at the crowd coming in, Chris.
I don't blame you, man.
I know.
It's very distracting.
Well, we just heard a tune from Chris off of his album Pop Art, and this is Chris Madsen, I should say. And hello there.
Hello.
And what tune was that?
That was a tune called Count Me In.
Count Me In off of the, and this is your latest release, Pop Art?
Yes, sir.
A couple of weeks ago, we actually had Charlie Krebs on, who's the cartoonist for Chicago Jazz Magazine.
Sure.
And Charlie drew, I think, just one cover, which was cartoonish. Now, this is a cartoonish-looking cover of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a rarity that people come up with something this creative, but I think it's pretty cool. How did you up with the thought process behind this?
Thanks. Well, yeah, so it goes along with the title of the record, the pop art movement. You know, the Andy Warhol, Roy Lichtenstein from the 50s and 60s. So this is based on Lichtenstein's style. And he's the one who's kind of pioneered the comic book look, you know, when Warhol was making those prints of, you know, Marilyn Monroe and the Campbell soup cans and stuff, Lichtenstein was doing these kind of things. So to go along with the title, Pop Art refers to the pop art movement. So I took an old photo of myself, added some captions to make it look kind of like a comic book cell.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one of my wife's colleagues, the art teacher at the school that she teaches at, to punch this up. And I was really happy with it. I think it's funny, and I think it's kind of catching, eye-catching.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's great, and it's unique, too.
Thank you.
It's unique. And don't you like it when you come on Chicago Jazz Revealed and I start right off with the cover of your art, as opposed to the tune that we just heard, which sounded great. But, you know, I have to start talking about the cover art. And, of course, this and your other releases are all available at chrismadsen.net.
.net, you got it.
So let's talk a little bit just about how you got started because, you know, for those listeners here, you're going to learn more and more about this. Chris actually works with Midwest Young Artists,
yes,
MYA.
Sir.
Mm-hmm. You also teach at Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
And you also are a very busy performer throughout Chicago. I think you've toured a little bit and done a lot of stuff in and out of town.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How did you get started just playing saxophone? Are you from Chicago?
Well, not technically from Chicago. I'm from Chicagoland. I'm from the suburbs, you know.
Chicago-ish,
you know. The actual Chicagoans get a little, you know, touchy when you say you're from Chicago. I'm not actually. But, you know, I consider myself a Chicagoan, born and raised in the suburbs. So, you know, I was really fortunate to have a good public school system as we have in this area, which is really lucky to grow up here, have access to that. So I started in the public school system, started playing saxophone when I was about 9 or 10, and just went through the ranks, you know, grade school, middle school, high school, and just kind of kept going and was fortunate to have a lot of you know, friends that were encouraging, band directors that were really inspirational. I was exposed to a lot of very deep, substantial music when I was relatively young. And so, you know, I'm very grateful to
which is pretty rare, too. And I think that's something we're going to talk about this later, but with Midwest Young Artists.
Right.
That's the beauty of Midwest Young Artists. So we just had Mark George on from the Music Institute of Chicago, and it's kind of the same thing. I wasn't that lucky, you know, so I wasn't exposed to jazz and to really heavy-duty stuff until I was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's really when I got started. But
sure.
Being able to start that young and be exposed to things and be able to have people kind of mentor you at that young age had to make a huge impression on you.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And, you know, it's funny, you see year by year, you see the bar getting raised higher and higher and higher. That, you know, it's like you start getting these jazz virtuosos at a younger and younger age. I mean, they're starting. A couple of years ago, I had a student who was an eighth grader that was just amazing. I mean, just phenomenal. The natural improvisational skills that you see at a younger and younger age, and you know, especially. I know there's a big divide in terms of, you know, where people are from and where they grow up, but, you know, if you're able to be exposed to it, and that's one of the reasons, like you said, that we have Midwest Young Artists to bring that from professionals, to bring that level mm-hmm. of musical appreciation to young people, you know.
Well, and before we get into Midwest Young Artists, let's just finish up with you. You actually were telling me before we went on the air, you actually went to Midwest Young Artists yeah. when yeah. you were in high school.
I sure did, yeah, yeah. It was kind of right after they started the program. It was in the 90s. And, I forget how I heard about it. Maybe a friend of a friend. Someone recommended it, and it was kind of getting more press. And Frank Portalese is deserving of all the accolades for that. Amazing guitarist. Actually lives up by me, one of the few mm-hmm. jazz musicians living in the north suburbs with me. Frank was in charge of it at that point. I got to meet him, and it was much different than it is now in its current incarnation. There were two kind of large combos. And we have just a totally different program now. So yeah, that plays into it. I mean, being an alumnus of MYA is a big. I think it's just a big plus for the program. It shows what the program can do, and it makes me feel good. I'm giving back to it and everything like that.
Sure,
so, you know.
Sure. Now you went from MYA, and then you went to college somewhere.
I did. I got my bachelor's at DePaul.
Oh, okay.
Chicago.
Stayed around the same area, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had known a lot of those faculty members. I was studying with Mark Colby. I knew Bob Lark through, you know, different interactions here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Got my bachelor's there, went to Juilliard for my master's degree, jazz studies, and was in New York for 3 years, almost exactly 3 years, actually. And then in 2006, moved back home, and I've been here ever since.
That's great. And so how did you end up starting to work at, was it MYA first, or did you start at Northwestern and then end up at MYA?
Yeah, it was Northwestern first.
Okay.
So actually, the Victor Goins, who's the director of jazz studies at Northwestern now, was the director of jazz studies at Juilliard when I was a student there. And so him being the saxophone teacher, me being a saxophonist, we kind of developed a close working relationship. You know, we got to know each other really well.
Sure.
You know, I really put my all into that, and I think he saw that, and he felt like he could trust me. And about a year and a half after I moved back here, I got a call from Victor offering the job to me, and I mean, I just jumped at it. It was a dream come true.
Oh.
You know, it was amazing.
First, Victor's offering you a job, and it's at Northwestern. I mean,
I know.
I mean, for those of you that are listening that don't know who Victor Goins is, why don't you tell him a little bit about? I mean, he plays with the Lincoln Center Orchestra, right?
He does.
He tours with Wynton Marsalis.
Yeah, I mean, in addition to being more and more of a household name in terms of just a jazz improviser on his own, a band leader. Yeah, he's been with Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, or Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra, since 1993. You know, he's a first-rate clarinet player, tenor sax player, does all the doubles, you know, committed to music education, always, you know, touring around the world, and you know, bringing his brand of jazz education to everyone. So yeah, I mean, you're right. It was, and I'm still, honestly, some days I still kind of pinch myself and say, am I really a professor at Northwestern?
Right.
I guess I am. Yeah. So so you know, after that, the position at MYA opened up just the year after, actually,
okay.
2009. I started there at that point. And there's no question that, you know, me being an alumnus and also me having the credentials of teaching at a university helped me get that position. But, I mean, I had always wanted to give back to MYA. I think it's a great organization.
Well, now, before we get into MYA, why don't we hear another tune? Now, you're also a successful recording artist. How many CDs do you have released?
I have 4 under my own name, and then I've been on a lot of projects for other
people.
A bunch
of different ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we hear a tune? This is off of Hidden.
Yeah.
And what tune are we going to hear off of this?
We're going to hear something called County E, and this was written in the early 2000s, recorded in the mid-2000s when I was in New York. So all these musicians here are New York-based musicians.
Okay, so this was back when you were in New York, actually, and
right.
you recorded all this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's take a listen to Chris Madsen off the recording Hidden, and this is County E on WDCB 90.9 FM and ChicagoJazz.com. Thank you. Before we finish tonight's show, a final reminder that we're in our fall pledge drive. Your support is critical to our ongoing success. It's your donation that pays for the programming on WDCB that you hear and enjoy. Please support what we do every day of the year by making a donation at WDCB.org or by phone at 630-942-4200. Your donation, first and most importantly, helps us provide great jazz, but also supports the musicians and the music lovers of Chicago. From sponsoring concerts at venues throughout Chicagoland to presenting a monthly free event at the Jazz Showcase, WDCB is all about supporting you and all our listeners. But it's a two-way street, and it can't continue without you and your support. Please show your gratitude by making a contribution to support your public radio station. Donate online at WDCB.org or by phone at 630-942-4200. Thank you so much for contributing, and thank you very much for listening. All right, we're back here at Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, live at Katarina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road. The crowd's going crazy. They're going nuts. I think we've got everybody seated finally, Chris. So, yeah,
Mike, I can't hear you. Can you speak up a little bit?
The
crowd noise.
And, of course, your group is setting up. You're going to be doing the performance tonight here at Katarina's, and you've got Kelly Sill on bass and Andre Beasley on drums, and we're going to hear some live performance from you at the end of the show. So
that's right.
So if you hear some setting up going on behind us, that's what that is, but I don't think anybody could really hear that anyways, unless they start really shouting at us and stuff.
You never know.
Yeah, no, you don't. I don't want to give anybody any ideas. So that last tune was called County E,
mm-hmm.
and that was off your release, Hidden, and that was the one that you recorded in New York
right.
when you were at Juilliard,
mm-hmm.
going to school out there.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're back in town. You're playing a lot of different places. Do you have any gigs yourself coming up? Other than in like 10 minutes?
In 10 minutes, that would be the one that I like to promote right away. Yeah. I'm playing with the this is ways off. But the first thing that pops to mind is a sort of an annual holiday party that the Brookfield Jazz Society puts on.
Oh, sure.
It's out in Brookfield, so mm-hmm. it's a little bit of a hike, but it's a really great thing they have going there. It's like a subscription service, and people come out to this little cottage behind this bar. And
is that the Irish?
Irish Times. What it's called.
Irish Times.
And we're doing a holiday party there, I think, with Jim Cooper, vibraphonist.
Sure.
And so that's on December 12th.
December 12th.
Yeah,
okay.
In the evening. BJS.org, I think, is the thing is the website for that.
I know I have a link on chicagojazz.com mm-hmm. and WDCB.org has one too. So,
right.
So December 12th, you'll be
mm-hmm.
out there. And
yep,
then
yep.
they can always check chrismadsen.net.
That's the best way to do it, yeah.
Yeah.
Facebook, friend me on Facebook. As of about a month ago now, I finally...
Oh, you just joined the club, huh?
Yeah, I couldn't hold out any longer. I finally joined the club, so that's where
you know that whole really internet thing. It's not going to last. I keep telling everybody it's just a fad. So
that's
that Facebook, give me a break, man.
Tell me about it. Email, cell phone.
Yeah,
it's all, it's,
I've got the print magazine. That's all you need, Chicago
that's right.
Jazz Magazine.
That's right.
So they can get more information at chrismadsen.net, but. I wanted to get into talking about MYA, which is you run the jazz studies. Is that how?
Sure.
What's
jazz
your official?
Program, because a jazz program director is my official title. There.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I remember when that started. And we were talking a little bit about when you were in it,
mm-hmm.
and 1993. Is that about right?
Yeah, I was in the later 90s, but it started in 1993. Though.
But I think the first interesting thing about it, it's actually at the old Fort. Dearborn?
Fort Sheridan.
Fort Sheridan.
Yeah,
Fort Sheridan,
military base.
The military base.
Yeah.
And it's, at least it used to be in the actual jail.
Yes, it is. And so the practice rooms were actually prison cells. They've been refashioned. But actually, if you go in there, it's such a great facility. They just spared no expense. And you can see some of the old iron gates that used to keep the prisoners at bay. They kept those. I mean, they painted over them, you know, mm-hmm. make them look nice, but... A lot of those practice rooms were actual cells for the prisoners.
And
but
that,
you'd
and,
never know.
And Fort Sheridan was, was that around World War I? I think so, right? I mean, it was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was back in the 1800s almost.
Easily, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. yeah. So there's a lot of history up there.
Sure is, yeah.
And so I remember them, and who started it?
Alan Dennis.
Mm-hmm. When he first started it, it was small and kind of building. That's probably when you were there. Now, how many mm-hmm. students are up there?
I can't tell you the exact number of students, but I'll talk about the jazz program specifically. So when the jazz program started, I think in mid-90s or so, there were two combos, two larger combos. You know, we're talking about kind of halfway between a combo and a big band, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, where you've got 10 horns, something like that, and a rhythm section. And we would kind of, Frank Portalese, like I said, was the director. Right. We would play tunes, you know, just jazz standard tunes, tunes from the real book, stuff like that. And at this point, all these years later, now we've got four big bands. We've got about five combos now. So, you know, somewhere around 100 students in the jazz program, somewhere in that vicinity is about where we're at.
Okay.
And, you know, as far as the rest of the program, we've got lots of classical programs, several symphony orchestras, lots of chamber music, a choral program as well. So it's very vibrant. And to go there on a Saturday or Sunday, you're walking around and it's just... You know, it's a beehive of activity. Mm-hmm. All these students from all around the area. It's a really inspirational place, especially if you're that age and you're there to meet other people your age who are as into music as you are, if not more. You know,
what's the what's the starting age?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we have some ensembles that you can start as early as, you know, 3 or 4. I mean,
oh, really?
Yeah, that young. And that's relatively new. I mean, not for jazz, obviously.
Right. Just kind of getting their feet wet on their instrument at that point.
Yeah,
right?
Well, really, it's vocal. You know, it's a vocal program. And, we're talking about 3 and 4 year olds. And I think there's even a kinder music program there, which we're talking about infants, you know.
Oh, really?
So if you want to get really technical about it, it's infant up to 12th grade. But for the jazz program, we're talking about 6th grade through 12th grade.
Infants.
Yeah.
Isn't
so
that
any
amazing?
Of you infants listening, if you're interested in
kinder music. Drive on out. That's actually the largest segment of my audience.
Yeah.
No. So starting about 5th, 6th, 7th grade for jazz-wise, mm-hmm. they can come in.
Right.
Now, I was talking to Mark George mm-hmm. from the Music Institute, and I think that this is a real interesting opportunity for any kids that are, like, you know, in the elementary school jazz band. And let's say that you are proficient, you're starting to work a little bit as far as getting your chops together and mm-hmm. stuff, and you're feeling like you want a little bit more. But I think by going somewhere like this, you get such a different education than you do in the public schools, which mm-hmm. only enhances the public school playing. I mean, is that what you're finding up there, is that the advancement just is tenfold once they start coming to NYA and then going back to the band program?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can ask the band directors, too. I mean, that's not necessarily the point of it. I mean, the point is to provide them with a...
Sure, I mean, you're not in competition with the band program.
Of course, right. And we take great pains not to be in competition
sure.
because then we wouldn't have anyone in our program. But, you know, yeah, absolutely. That's a byproduct of coming there week after week and studying with... you know, jazz musicians, professional jazz musicians, and getting a different perspective on it. And really, you know, I think almost more than anything, being around other people their age who are, you know, spurring them on and mm-hmm. talking about music in a way that you might not hear in a public school. I mean, unless you're at a public school, which is really, really happening and has tons of funding, I mean, you know, the New Trier or something.
Sure.
Where their jazz program is really spectacular. You know, you're not talking about music unless you're in music class, you know.
Right.
But at NYA, we talk about music all the time. You come there, it's like boot camp, you know. It's like, I like to say it's like going to Allstate every weekend,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to having to go all the way down to Peoria to find other people who share your interests. All I got to do is go to Fort Sheridan, and we're there every Sunday.
Sure. So is it once a week? Is that when the mm-hmm. bands get together? Now, what, when we're talking about the jazz, is it similar to like a college program where there's maybe like 10 combos or a couple of big bands? Or
yes.
How does that all lay out?
Yeah, it is. So we have this year we have four big bands. Our first year, last year we had three. Every other year we've had three, and this year we've expanded. Out of those big bands, we form different combos. You know, mm-hmm. we have the combo for the youngest students. We have a couple combos from the middle bands, and then a few combos from the top band as well. I think at this point we've got five combos, four big bands. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then our top combo is called the Merit Combo. not to be confused with the Merritt School of Music, which is another outstanding institution, but the Merritt Combo, the students get reduced tuition in exchange for they get to study with once a month they get to study with a Chicago jazz professional who comes up and works with them in the combo.
Oh, okay.
And they also have to do sort of ambassador work. They're the combo that goes out and performs all the fundraising functions that we have, or they have, you know, that's the combo we feature, say, at the Prisker Pavilion or something like that, if something like that comes up. So those are the top improvisers in MYA. And then the big band is our highest performing ensemble, and that's basically at a college level. And sometimes you would mistake them for a professional band.
It's unbelievable.
It is, yeah.
It's really unbelievable.
I'm very lucky to be there.
Now, why don't we talk what shows are coming up that our listeners can check out, and we'll give the website and all that stuff. Because I know that, you know, the other thing beyond just being up there and getting all of this information and be able to be around kids that have the same interest as you, if you're a kid, and, and that same drive and all that, and you're learning all the music, is that you guys do some spectacular concerts.
Yeah.
And, you know, not only in concert halls, but I think also in some clubs and different things like that. So what do you have coming up?
So the soonest performance that we have, it's, like I said, the top performing big band called the Big Band. We're performing at Wentz Hall in Naperville. And that's kind of a joint concert we do with our symphony, which is our top-performing classical ensemble. 7 p.m., Wentz Hall in Naperville.
And that's the new one on the North Central College campus.
Yes, that's it.
Yep.
Right. October 19th, Saturday, October 19th, 7 p.m. And you can get tickets. All the tickets to these things are available on MYA.org.
Mm-hmm.
And they make it really easy to purchase online. And I think you even get a discount for this particular concert. You get a discount for purchasing online as opposed to at the window. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So and, Wentz Hall.
Wentz Hall, and then October 27th we have our seasonal fall concert. We always have a concert on a Sunday in Pigstager Hall at Northwestern right around Halloween. It's the Sunday before Halloween. So this year it's the 27th, 6:30 p.m. in Pigstager Hall. And again, you know, tickets available at MYA.org.
Sure.
And that's kind of a what you get on the 19th is four or five songs by our top performing ensemble. They get to stretch out a little bit more. They're actually featured in this performing space. On the 27th, you get kind of a little sampler of all of the jazz program, except for the combos. You get all four big bands in a row, from youngest to oldest. And they each play a few charts, and you get kind of a... It's for the general public, but even more so like for the parents of the students to come and see what MYA has to offer.
Yeah.
See if they have any other students in their family that might be interested in classical portion or jazz or anything like that.
It's a nice sampler so that everybody can hear it, so that they it's a nice recruiting tool too for MYA, right?
Think of it as a jazz flight, right? Just, you know, to keep in the restaurant vibe.
Sure, well, yeah, you know, you've got to do that. That's
right.
Very good.
Exactly.
I always like to tie in the sponsors.
Of course, right? Of course.
So is there anything else beyond that stuff?
Yeah, we're very excited this year. Actually, January 18th and 19th, 2014, every year we have a Jazz in January concert, and that is our winter concert. Like I said, we have seasonal concerts. This year, 18th and 19th, we are bringing in one of the guiding lights in the jazz educational world, John Clayton, you know, and obviously founder of the Clayton Hamilton Big Band, you know, international jazz superstar.
Sure.
Somehow we were able to get a hold of him, and he's coming out to work with our combos on the 18th at this new venue in Evanston called 27 Live. This place just opened around Labor Day, and we are, I think, actually going to be the first jazz performance there. So he's putting on a master class in the afternoon in that space, and then later that evening we're doing a combo concert with all of our combos featuring John Clayton. The following day in Bennett Gordon Hall at Ravinia, John will be conducting and performing alongside all of our big bands. So those are two events that you really don't want to miss out on, especially bassists in town really, you know, want to make it to that workshop with John Clayton. It'll be fantastic. It'll be interactive. People can play.
Sure,
he'll have a rhythm section there to demonstrate things. And, you know, he's goes without saying John Clayton is one of a kind and really a true force for really, and I don't say this lightly, a force for all things good in jazz. And he's there at the Education Network conferences. He's there doing all the stuff that people should be doing and using his influence to bring a positivity to people's perceptions of jazz. So 18th and 19th of January.
Well, just a, I mean, just the experience just from those concerts, I mean, let alone everything else, do you find that the kids, when they go back to their high schools and go back to their you know, private lessons and stuff were kind of like, why are we playing in this gym, man? I just played at the, Ravinia. What is this?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, no, not necessarily, because like I said, there are some really, really great public school programs around
mm-hmm.
the area.
Oh yeah.
You know, and so they'll, we've played at the Jazz Showcase and,
sure.
And other great venues around in Chicago, but some of the students get to do that with their high school ensemble. The way I like to see MYA is a supplement. It's supplemental to their
yep.
school program. That's how I saw it when I was there. It's not either or. But, you know, you learn stuff at MYA. It's just like going to Allstate, like I said, you know, going
right.
down to IMEA. You're learning stuff that you can then bring back and maybe show to your, you know, your fellow students at your high school or your middle school.
Well, and you've also probably, with the band directors, I know that was the case when I was teaching and sending kids up there.
Yeah.
Band directors loved it because it was just this extra. It was like a, like you were sending them up there, and they were getting like a super education to come back and help that band program, and it would just enhance what was happening with all the kids around
sure.
them in that band program. So,
yeah.
You know,
that's what we hope happens, you know. That's the idea.
Yeah. Well, okay, so they can get more information at mya.org.
Yeah, it's all there.
For all that information. Mm-hmm. Of course, they can get more information on you at chrismadsen.net.
That's right.
And I think you're going to play a couple of tunes for us now.
Love to, yeah.
Excellent.
Kelly
well,
Still and Andre and I would love to close things out with a couple tunes. Yeah.
That'll be great. Well, thanks for coming in, Chris.
My pleasure. Thanks,
and we'll look forward to hearing you.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, man.